All right, so we first caught wind about 72 hours ago that NATO is parking its F-35 nuclear bombers in Cold War era Norwegian bunkers, exercising a strategic dispersal concept, distributing their F-35s away from their primary airports in the run-up to the mother of all wars. Now, yesterday, Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, comes out and says, yeah, we're just going to actually have to put our nuclear weapons on a maximum state of readiness, and also we're going to be rolling out more, pulling out more from storage to be armed and ready to go should the time arise, because of course everything is going just fine in Ukraine. Now today he comes out with this blunder, and I just got word at the time of making this video that Congress has approved 50 F-15s for Israel. Now, these have capabilities to go to war with Iran, and we got some information about that, too. Oil is spiking. It's looking like it's about go time because Netanyahu has relieved his war cabinet. But let's hear what this genius has to say. Now, tell me if this sounds familiar to you guys, okay? Let's hear what he has to say.
NATO-trained pilots, the fact that they're now delivering F-16s, of course, it will create a future NATO, no, sorry, Ukrainian Air Force that will be NATO interoperable. NATO planes, NATO pilots, NATO trained pilots, and NATO procedures. The fact that.
Dip. That's all, folks. Okay, so here's what he's saying. The fact, let me just read this, okay? The fact that they're now delivering F-16s, this is what's called a parapraxis, a Freudian slip. Of course, it will create a future for NATO. Sorry, right? So these guys are having such a hard time distinguishing between NATO and Ukraine that they can't even disentangle that to talk about and state what they actually mean. Well, they state what they actually mean. The Ukrainian Air Force that will be NATO interoperable. And here's where he really slips up. And this is what I've been saying for the longest time. NATO planes, NATO pilots. And then he's like, oh, I mean NATO trained pilots and NATO procedures. Right. Again, if it's so difficult for you to form a coherent sentence and easily distinguish between NATO and Ukraine, then maybe these things are indistinguishable. So this is very important because, I mean, the Russians already know this, and it just makes perfect sense. This is what you need inductive reasoning for. Why on earth, if NATO really does have a dog in this fight, which they obviously do, why on earth would you waste a perfectly good F-16, for which there are limited supply of these things? Why would you waste that on a rookie novice pilot when the Russians are never going to know? Okay, if it gets shot down, it's likely going to get shot down over Ukrainian territory. They are never going to know. So, of course, you're going to be using some NATO ace, if you will, and he's going to be flying from Romania and Poland. Now, the question is, why are they waiting so long? It seems like we're just seeing delays and delays and delays. It's really, really starting to look like we are seeing a grand global chessboard, that all of these countries are coordinating in concert, like Vladimir Putin today paying visit to Kim Jong-un, or he's heading to North Korea. I'm not sure if he's already there. He's going to be there in the next couple days. And now you have a NATO summit that's happening in July, I believe, and they're actually inviting the leaders of Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and the Republic of Korea to that summit, because of course this is a world war. So it starts to look as though once one of these major conflicts flares up, the likelihood of another theater of war flaring up, be it North Korea, be it Ukraine expanding in eastward or even into the Baltic regions or Moldova, be it in Lebanon with Israel and Syria and Iraq and Iran, be it in the Korean Peninsula or the Taiwan Strait. If any one of these things goes, the whole thing, it's like a dominoes. There'll be a cascading effect throughout the entire system, because of course all of these are becoming more interdependent. So when Russia now goes to war, because Vladimir Putin, he's going there for weapons. Okay, that's something to keep in mind. That's the primary reason why he is going there, and he's calling the West treacherous. He's calling attention to the treacherous treatment of the West towards the North Koreans in order to curry favor of Kim Jong-un, because he needs more artillery shells. Rumor has it up to 5 million artillery shells have already been shipped, and the North Korean and Korean border, I should say, the demilitarized zone, is becoming heavily remilitarized in the last couple weeks alone. So if something kicks off in Korea, Russia has a vested interest in helping the Koreans, and once you have all of these sanctioned countries start to work together more and more. China is not as sanctioned, not nearly as sanctioned as North Korea and Russia, but of course they're starting to get involved in a trade war, and now Stoltenberg is calling out the Chinese, and that's why he's bringing, you know, South Korea and Australia and New Zealand into the NATO summit sphere of influence. So we're starting to see if one of these things flares up, the whole thing is going to blow. I think that's why we're tiptoeing so cautiously, because whether it's Lebanon, whether it is something that happens in Crimea or the Black Sea, like a U.S. drone gets shot down, even something in South America, for all we know, that could be the real wild card here with Venezuela and Cuba, or if something happens in Taiwan, which could literally happen any day now, and North Korea, which is just, you know, is everything across the board. When one of those things goes, every other theater of conflict becomes more unstable, because now everybody's interconnected on the Axis side. So what affects one country within the Axis begins to increasingly affect all countries in the Axis, okay? So this is crazy that he actually just admitted what I have been saying pretty much every video for the last 6 months now. And of course, American pilots, retired pilots, have come out and said, I'll volunteer. People have been lining up to volunteer to do this. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's a chance in a lifetime to fight a peer-to-peer conflict and put your skills to the test, especially some of these vets. You know, maybe they just couldn't find their place back in the real world and they're itching to get back in the cockpit. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity, right? So of course they're going to use NATO pilots. And what this means is NATO is going to war with Russia. The first time that F-16 enters the combat zone, it is a direct war between NATO and Russia. There is no longer any sort of technicalities and red tape and blurred lines there. It's abundantly clear at that point. And his Freudian slip, where he basically just said, we're going to be using Ukraine for NATO pilots and for NATO planes and to make it interoperable with NATO, is, I mean, it is what it is. This is World War III, and the sooner people understand that, I mean, everything that we've been saying is playing out to a T. It's just taking a little bit longer. You're having the world separate into two power blocks, the East and the West. How do you think this ultimately ends? It's Thucydides' trap. The United States is very paranoid, and the West is, because of course they're potentially on the brink, they haven't lost it yet, of losing global reserve currency status and being the global superpower. And we can't even defeat the Houthis. Apparently now the U.S. is re-strategizing how they're going about things in Yemen. It suddenly occurred to our Western OSINT intelligence people that maybe we should start targeting the Houthi radars. And I mean, the question is, why haven't they been doing this for the longest time? Apparently, this is a new strategy that they're employing. Why haven't they been doing this for the longest time? And rumor has it that, in fact, the Houthis might have got in a couple hits on American warships that are being downplayed. Now, I can't attest to the veracity of those claims, but I can say it's rather suspicious that a carrier strike group retreated from the region after the Houthis claimed that they had hit it. But I don't know all the details about that, so don't take that to the bank. As far as we know, you know, maybe they are very successful in shooting them all down. But there's a reason why there hasn't been any noticeable impact on the Houthis' capability to launch these attacks to date. So that is what is going on in that department. Now, we have him coming out again and saying that, well, we're also going to invite everybody to this NATO summit that we're having in July, because, of course, we have to counter China. And remember, it's important to understand, this is all about the Chinese. Ultimately, they are the elephant in the room. Russia is just a means to taking out China. China is the real threat to Thucydides' trap. It's the Thucydides' trap. It is the emerging power. The capability of the Chinese economy far exceeds that of Russia, perhaps not militarily yet, but in terms of industrial capacity and other things. And the West knows that. They know that that is the sleeping dragon, if you will. And at some point that it is going to wake up and it is going to be problematic. Now, I read an article recently that the U.S. Army is currently doing disablement team Army Rangers trained to seize underground nuclear facilities. Now, I don't know if this is standard run-of-the-mill training or not. Maybe you guys can let me know in the comment section below. This was an article from June 13th, kind of went under the radar. But to me, this looks as though they're training in order to enter into the Iranian combat theater. Because, of course, who has underground nuclear facilities? Well, probably North Korea and Iran. And there's no way in hell you're sending these guys into China or Russia. I mean, it could be, though. At this point, we just simply don't know. So the fact that they are doing such specific training to seize an underground nuclear facility means that they are getting ready to go up against a nuclear or near-peer adversary, okay? So that's a very interesting piece of news unto itself. What else do we got going on here? Global spending on nuclear weapons is up 13%. World nuclear states on course to spend $100 billion in 2024. And there are rumors that, and they're not rumors, in fact, this is from the same agency who did these assessments, claims that Israel is modernizing its nuclear arsenal, upgrading plutonium production at the Dimona site. And they're saying that Israel's arsenal consists of an estimated 90 nuclear warheads. Of course, that's completely off the books. They are immune to that type of global scrutiny, I guess. The IAEA don't seem to mind. I guess some people are just above the law, and we got to get used to it. But yeah, they're starting to fortify the Dimona facility, and they're starting to, of course, they're going to be getting the F-15, what are they called, F-15EX fighter jets very soon, 50 of them from the United States. Of course, this is probably why the war cabinet has been disbanded. They're waiting for more equipment, and perhaps Netanyahu's getting a little bit patient. Why can't we start this war with Lebanon already? And perhaps the generals are saying, hey, we got to wait a little bit longer or else it's going to be a logistical cluster F-U-C-K, if you know what I mean. But that's quite interesting that they're expanding their nuclear weapons, making the Samson option far more likely. Of course, these 90 nuclear warheads can be launched by fighter jets, submarines, or ballistic missiles. Very interesting information. Now, there are some sources that are reporting that Iran is currently sending groups to Syria and Lebanon in order to resist a possible invasion by Israeli troops. Numbers vary between 100,000 to 500,000 troops are ready to go in Lebanon. Numbers of actual missiles and rockets range from a couple 100,000 up to 1,000,000. So their capability clearly is, they're pretty capable compared to Hamas, okay? They've already had some very successful strikes. And of course, the Iron Dome system is becoming, I don't want to say exhausted because I'm not on the ground, but I'm presuming that because Hezbollah is having more success in their attacks, that must mean that it's diminishing the capability over time and attriting the capability of the Iron Dome system. So Iran. So they're saying, or they're trying to make that connection. We just don't know. Likely IRGC, perhaps not the Iranian military, but pretty much the same thing. As I indicated, Netanyahu has disbanded his war cabinet after former centrist Benny Gantz quit the government. So they're starting to phrase it as it's Netanyahu is the guy who's rearing to go. Some people have said that he was actually the one who was putting the brakes on it. I quite frankly have no idea what is going on in that situation. I have too many other things to think about. North Korea has also added 20 nukes, according to the researchers of this nuclear study. Since last year, 20 nuclear weapons. You remember there was a time when North Korea was just doing nuclear tests and we didn't even know if they had one or not. So the fact that they're increasing their arsenal so drastically, and you now have Vladimir Putin chancing a visit to North Korea, because of course security is incredibly high right now with assassinations running rampant, and there's rumor now that he's going to be going to Vietnam as well. So this is incredibly important. North Korea is erecting anti-tank barriers on the DMZ. North Korea has built what appear to be anti-tank barriers along the inter-Korean border, according to the South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff, in a move that experts identified as part of Pyongyang's efforts to broadcast its readiness for war amid escalating military tensions. So a lot of those treaties that used to form the basis of a detente between the two sides have now subsided, and they're starting to remilitarize the region. There was the whole balloon gate issue that recently happened where North Korea was sending over balloons. There was a shooting incident that didn't get a lot of media attention recently. So this is all very important stuff. And they're saying that they're also looking at the laying of mines and reinforcing tactical roads and the clearing of wasteland in anticipation of this ratcheting up for war. So, shit hit the fan is nigh. What more do we need to say? You know, I mean, it's just, there is no doubt in my mind that the zero day is en route. It's just a matter of time. Ammunition detonated at a Czech training ground where Ukrainian armed forces militants are trained. Now, events like this, these could be accidents. I mean, they very well could be. When you have a rush to remilitarize and you got people in there who perhaps aren't very trained in what they're doing, you're going to have a lot of accidents. Just like when you see more military activity, you see more planes having accidents and falling out of the sky, which is not to say that it couldn't be cyber attack or sabotage, but you have to understand that the more military activity you have going on, the greater the likelihood that there are going to be these accidents. And on the topic of accidents, it's very important to realize that while there is an increasing risk of a deliberate nuclear conflict emerging where you have very conscious, well, maybe not in terms of what we would define being conscious as, but in terms of, you know, knowing what they're doing, people pushing the button deliberately, intentionally, and then because you have all this nuclear activity and this nuclear buildup, the risk of an accidental exchange increases drastically. And remember, those lines of communication aren't as ironclad as they perhaps once were, when you had more open lines of communication between both sides, okay? Now, while communication in general, communication technologies have improved, it also, you know, there's also increased risk with that. So it's kind of a catch-22. So the more we have this increased combat readiness on both sides of the fence, the greater the possibility for an accident. Whether or not either side intends to actually push the nuclear button, it could just accidentally happen. And then what happens if somebody accidentally attacks? Well, there is going to have to be some sort of agreed upon retaliation. And if that exceeds, and we've seen this play out in some fictional accounts, if that exceeds what's agreed upon, then of course it becomes an escalatory constant exchange. I've seen this on the interwebs. Apparently the Russians are using these to shoot down drones. it looks to be like you have some ball bearings, I guess not ball bearings, some shaped pieces of metal, shrapnel, and it's attached to strings, which I presume when you shoot that out of the shotgun slug, it's going to get caught up in the propellers or perhaps something like that where it's going to just, you know, cause the drone to crash. Maybe they're not having that much success with bird shot or number four shot. So this is what they're using. It's for primarily for the purpose of drones. I don't know about the legalities of this in North America, but I always try to buy exotic shotgun shells whenever I get the chance, whether it's a flare. We can't get tracer rounds here, but we can get some other, you know, nifty little types of shotgun rounds. And of course, you can make your own shotgun shells, but, you know, consider the legalities in the region that you're in. In terms of legalities, I got to say, guys, right now, I don't know what it is, but it's weird when you get two government emails in a day, okay? And I don't know if it's just because a lot of Canadian businesses are going under right now and the government has nobody to pester, so they're just looking for things to do. But to have two government emails in one day from different departments is kind of strange. I can tell you right now, they're coming to regulate the shit out of food. We're talking about freeze-dried food as well. But don't worry, I watched a little YouTube news brief today from, what was it, DW News, who was talking all about the joys of eating these circadias, because there's this, you know, 1 in 200 year circadia event. And so, yeah, we can eat the bugs instead. But they're coming for the food. They're coming for the Baofeng radios. If you live in Canada, this one is actually going to be illegal soon. They don't have the appropriate licensing or whatever it is, even though it's clearly indicated right there on the box. They are going to be coming for the drones. They're probably going to be coming for thermal imagers. They're going to be coming for the body armor. They're going to be coming for, well, they already took the fish antibiotics for use for fish. So anything that would empower you in any shape, way, shape, or form that is not going to benefit big business, they're coming for it. Why exactly? I think it's a combination of a bunch of bureaucrats who have nothing better to do with their time and need to justify us giving them more and more money to take away more and more of our rights, and perhaps a concerted effort to just try to get us all on the grid to own nothing and be happy, the proverbial saying as it goes. That said, if you want to support the channel, please gear up at CanadianPreparedness.com. We're going to hold out as long as we possibly can to try to get you guys the goods. But you're not only up against resource scarcity, you're not only up against supply and demand issues when shit hit the fan is impending. Because right when that first nuke drops, or right when it finally, the Western media starts talking about this, these things are going to get cleared out, whether it's gas masks, Geiger counters, anything for the purpose of long-term survival. It's going to get cleared out just like what happened during COVID times 10. But you're also going to have to contend with this completely incompetent and utterly useless government who has nothing better to do but throw their weight around people who, of course, are paying all of their wages. Anyways, guys, quietly waiting for the end. Gear up, CanadianPreparedness.com. Stay sane, stay fit, and stay ready. Talk to you soon.